Want to do Amazing Grace. How many of you have seen Bill Moyers' tape on this? Yeah, well, I've seen it, you know, 3 or 4 times now, and I get something new out of it, so I hope you will, too. And we'll play about 18 minutes or so. That comes to a pretty good resolution where we can stop and talk about it and get you into some close discussion about grace and what it means to you. This tape was made by Bill Moyers, who, by the way, is an ordained Baptist minister, if you didn't know that. And he came to work for Lyndon Johnson, kind of idealistic. Oh, he actually came to work, first of all, I think at the tail end of the Kennedy era, for the Peace Corps. And he was in charge of recruitment. In fact, one wild moment in Europe, I thought that'd be wonderful to get in the Peace Corps. We had some children with some health problems and made it a little tough to be mobile. But Bill Moyers he was the recruiting person. And I got a letter from him, but I can't find it now. And then he went to Lyndon Johnson as his press secretary for a time. It's kind of heavy on him because he had to do some things he didn't like to do and trying to make Lyndon look good on some things. And but he's kept his ordination as a Baptist minister. And so when Judy Collins starts singing Amazing Grace in the early 70s, and it hit the top of the charts, remember, Bill, then years later, thought, well, this would be something, it does have a universal effect and appeal. And it goes beyond just the church. And it's a good example of how God is not limited by our church walls. And I think it was his ministry that made him more sensitive to it. And so being in a power position at PBS, he got this thing made. And it was rather amazing, again, because if you know about PBS, they don't do religion. They don't do much about religion. Maybe a little on world religions, and they had Joseph Campbell, and that isn't exactly what some of us would hope might be a decent explanation of the various faiths and what they believe. They don't think that's important, and apparently, or they don't want to get into some church-state problem. But this one transcended all those categories. And yet, you know, the words are so out of the gospel that those of us who come from the tradition of the faith, these words mean a lot to us. But apparently they mean a lot to people who never darken the door of a church. And it just has that kind of effect. And I'm sure you've heard it sung in all kinds of places, you know. They sing it in bars, they sing it at rallies, they sing it in church, of course. Out on the street, wherever people, and it has an amara. I've seen big crowds of people sometimes get a little noisy, and they start singing Amazing Grace, and the kind of grace that pervades, the kind of calming effect. It means many things to many people, as this tape will reveal to us. So I want you to think about it as you see it, in terms of what amazing grace has been to you in your life. What kind of things have happened to you that you can't explain by any other word than grace. Unexpected, undeserved, bursting forth in your life. Starting in one direction and finding you're going the other direction, but you had to go in this direction because you didn't know that until you got down there that you had to go this way. And that kind of thing, you know? So it's like the switchbacks out here. Constantly switching back and forth, back and forth. What is it? Trelke's poem, I wake from sleep, I make my waking slow. I learn by walking where I must go. And amazing grace often comes out in the way. We're not sure where we're going, but then we're stopped by grace. By a person often, usually I think by a person, an event, but then that event involves persons, doesn't it? So internalize, meditate, think about it as you see this, I think, amazing film. The fact that it was done is amazing. And then we'll give everybody a chance to get into the act. reflecting on why is it so popular? This film might give us some ideas about that. What's the universality of this? How is this God breaking out of the God boxes we create for God? And how does Amazing Grace affect you? What kind of experiences have you had that you can't label with any other label than Amazing Grace? And then the second part of that is when have you experienced grace as forgiveness, as being lost and found, kind of synonym for forgiveness? And we'll break up in little kind of three-person circles for that. We have an important announcement here. This is amazing gift to us. It's a service using, how many of you have read Markings, or know the book, you know, Markings of Dag Hammarskjöld? Well, it's recommended, it's a good book. I don't know if they have it here or not. It's probably gone through lots of printings, and it's probably in paperback. Get it at your library. And you know who Dag Hammarskjöld was, Secretary of the United Nations, killed in an airplane crash in the 50s. They knew he was an unusual man, but they didn't know how unusual until they started reading Markings and how deeply Christian he was and how Christianity just pervaded his thought. It was second nature to him. And so in his Markings, he ruminates about his faith and the world. He's always living in the world and in the faith at the same time. Like somebody said, having the New Testament in one hand and the New York Times in the other. That was Hammarskjöld. And our friend here, Bob O'Sullivan, took the trouble to put this together in Dag Hammarskjöld Mass. And we didn't have a chance to get this thing early enough on the schedule here. So it's going to be done tonight, Bob, as a discussion. Yeah. Are you going to read part of it?
At 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
In this room. And okay. We'll read through it, and I'll give some background.
Will you tell us why you selected various portions?
Sure.
And what he maybe meant by certain things that may not be clear to us?
Sure.
I notice you've been pulling out some Hammarskjöld books out of the library and so on.
Yeah, and if you want to take one of these ahead of time, they'll be up on top of the piano.
It'll be a nice nightcap for us. Thank you. All right, are we ready to go? Anybody got a question first? All right. Rolling. We got it down to one button, but which button? There it is.
Jesse Norman.
Who is it?
Jesse Norman.
Okay. Bill Moyer posed the question, why is Amazing Grace so universal, so popular? Why is it endured? You know, a thing can be popular for what the shelf life of a lot of things today, maybe a week, 2 months. This is endured for 100 and almost 200 years. Why?
I think that first person that was speaking on the tape summed it up. She said it's one that gets to you.
Gets to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said it gets to all people.
Part of it has to be the music. It's really haunting.
Yeah.
The tune.
Yes.
So. Yeah. All right. Certainly. But the words too seem to grab people. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting what some done with this, some people who aren't much for original sin, at least not their own, want to clean up this song a little. So instead of a wretch like me, it's a soul like me, in some versions. And what do you think about that? Yeah, Barbara.
That's really interesting, because I worked in a church 1 year doing field work when I was in seminary. And the wife of the pastor told me how much she hated the song Amazing Grace because she didn't like to sing that she was a wretch. She felt that was very demeaning. Mm-hmm. And we had a discussion about it because I have no problem saying that I'm I'm a wreck or was a wreck. And I think, I mean, I had no idea, I haven't seen this before, I had no idea the guy that wrote it was a slave trader. And I think that's really important for understanding the power of this hymn, is that he was engaged in something so unjust and so terrible, and then came it through his conversion to faith, hopefully to leave the slave trader. I'm sad that Bill Moyers didn't do more with that. I mean, I'd like to know what he did.
I can tell you a little, but you finish what you're saying.
So I'm curious what he did, because I think that's where the song can become powerful for each of us in our life journey too, is thinking about what has my life been that I need to turn from, even as I experience the grace of God. I mean, the second verse is so wonderful, isn't it? Grace upon my heart, for your grace and my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And then the next step too is, well, then what do you do about it once you experience God's grace in your life? And I think his story, and I'm really intrigued to hear what in fact he did about his slave trading life.
Yeah.
He became a vicar, right.
But what did he do about it?
What did he do about
this? Marry his sweetheart or the parents? Oh,
yeah, I don't know about that. And I'm not sure whether it comes later in this tape or whether I just picked it up somewhere else. What happened was he got converted. And but he did not change his slave trading. It was too lucrative. And so what he did, he took a modest step, and he just became a less cruel tormentor, a more benevolent oppressor, if you will. And so I guess he fed the slaves a little better, gave them more water and a little more comforts. And then he realized that the whole thing was wrong, had to be just rooted out, branch, roots, everything had to go. And that's when he turned his back completely on it. And then studied for the priesthood, became a rector and a priest in the Church of England.
And you hope that he worked for an end to slavery.
Yeah, you hope. Yeah. What he did about slavery.
I don't know. That would be a good question to follow up on.
And I have the impression the original conversion had more to do with the storm than
could be
than the horror of the slave trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's the way it's written up in some of the confirmation material.
If that's his entry point, it's a storm, great. Uh-huh. But then you just hope that he moved to think about the slave trade, too, or whatever.
You were saying something else, too?
I know that with my confirmation class in the Sunday school confirmation material, it talks about the storm and that transforming part.
It's a good metaphor, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
It's when Luther decided to become a monk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's sort of like Augustine's conversion. Lord, make me just or chaste, whatever he said, but not yet. Well, anyone else's reaction to how this became so universal? It's very interesting to hear, particularly young people who never darken the door of a church, you know, and they get into this song. So, such feeling. It's as though we all, it's what we believe, isn't it? That we're all made for God, like Augustine said, our hearts are made for thee, O Lord, and they're restless until they find their rest in God. So maybe it taps that latent spiritual hunger in all of us. I'd like to have you do a little small group thinking here. Sometimes it's hard for some of us to speak when there's too many people around. We censure ourselves, but sometimes with just three of us around, we can speak a little more freely. So what do we got here? Just pull your chairs around, kind of group with the three people nearest you. I'll move over here with these. However you're going to start, go ahead. And I'll come over, and you three. Yeah, we got three. Just right. You can take up these two questions and any others, but can you read the board all right?
If you'd like to. I joke that sometimes I get to look at these two questions.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't realize it was his son. But he came here on his own. My wife's a musician. Almost decided to go to Park Lake today. Yeah, I thought I might be a drag. If you guys slow down. Thank you.
We have three. John and Jim are both here.
Oh, what a great place to get everybody here.
Okay, let's talk about.
Oh, yeah, we have a time to fill. We're probably being recorded talking about this.
Relate to what's.
I think people who've been lifelong Christians, especially the Lutheranism, well, he sort of had it, but he was pinpoint the last year. People in the churches like Lutherans, especially, have it said to them.
I'm not.
Yes, and I think part of it, when I mentioned it's just this wonderfully launching and powerful.
Yeah, and there's just, you make it different for different people. There are just certain melodies in there that make one of those is Rosemeter.
What words is it?
I think there are two sets of words that are in the hymnal, but they are, and they're both.
My wife is a musician who for years, since the age of 4 and a half, was an organist in different churches. Yeah, it was, I kind of wish I'd known her then.
There's a restaurant in Ron Williams that has an organization of
Yeah, I think oh, you need more of those pictures. I didn't have any more. In recent years, she became a music director of still a Lutheran church, but it's largely that. And as a classical pianist, she also involved with jazz pianist. But part of the wonderful collaboration at this church is sometimes they have some really super jazz musicians that can work with a choir on songs like Closer Walk. And those two songs in particular are kind of like Amazing Grace and the power combination of the right words. Anyway, I do think the spirit clearly works for music. And some music touches the soul more deeply, and much of Bach. Or the ancient Lutheran chorales, sort of the same thing. One thing I did in this service, was wrote some new words to the classical plan to try and use some of
New words,
yes. They're being here
to be some to rock and roll.
Experience
grace through music.
Mm-hmm. And through poetry, through literature, probably more than Germans.
I experience
both. Uh-huh. Both of those are in the service.
Yes.
See, both of those have such strong, from the tradition we come from, because they're almost sung at everyone's funeral. I mean, they just.
Are we gonna sing that?
We could.
I wish we could.
Well.
Talk about the music.
I kinda have two choices tonight. After that sort of thing, and the thought was, well, when we go through and discuss it, but maybe we should just do it. Or maybe I can say a few minutes after work. And, I asked that if the pianist can hear at least to play Locked Out about some.
Oh, that would be great. Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh, I'd love to sing those hymns. Because they're, we miss something if we don't have music.
Well, I'll try and
find somebody.
Well, does your son play the piano?
No, he doesn't play music.
Uh-huh, okay.
There's gotta be somebody. How about asking somebody?
Or a village musician.
Yeah, that's yours, get somebody, you know, somebody who's playing tonight, or something, they'd be available.
Well, in fact, is it tonight or tomorrow? That was just put on the board today.
Is that one of the?
I think it was 5:10, 5:10, 5:45 today or something like that. It was just put on the board this morning, so there will be musicians around.
I also found some books on Hampshire in the library, and one of them mentions that when he was Secretary General of the United Nations, was actively involved in some of the annual celebrations at UN Day, and that always included the last movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Well, we had our next version of this service in the family. That's also a witness. My wife is half Swedish.
No marriage.
Half Swedish and half German. California.
Are you a pastor or?
Gray hair is.
Yes, I am. I trained for the ministry, and kind of got. Never pursue ordination. What's funny is right now with the church in Berkeley, California, has been trying to support trying to do what's necessary.
lots of Thomas Cultures and Baptist Cultures.
That is, trying not to have it, you know, mass produced all over the place until a little copyright information is
So this was communion service.
Yeah, and actually, there's not too much in marketing specifically Eucharist celebration about the communion, but how it first came to be was had to be preached on Sunday when Amish Schultz made commemoration of the church. So I took out my copy of Mark and started reading around, and I came across a historical book of Mercuria. And I said, this is a Mercuria. Lord, have mercy. And I started reading around, and it was a version of the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, why not, instead of doing it in traditional liturgy, so I went with the substitute of these problems. And people really loved it. It's, in a way, real tradition, but in another way, it's been fresh words.
Okay.
And would you care if this? Can we take a cup?
Yeah, I'll take it.
We have our granddaughter working in the middle.
A lot of kids are.
Well, the kids are.
Sure.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, and delighted to know the parents and everything.
Yeah, that's a coincidence, isn't it? Yeah.
He's been here before.
Have you been here? Oh, I yeah. So if I go to this one up here. Well, one year she was at the musician in residence. She's also a lawyer at the but she also knows the protocol for the musician. Then at least was wake up everybody, do the music, direct choir, put them on sleep, and then wash their dishes. This is an occasion. It wasn't her idea.
Hate to break up a nice conversation.
I'm American and I'm
but maybe we're just about ready. And they are running. A little man in the next booth has a stopwatch. They're going to do something to us if we don't quit on time. But thank you very much, and we'll continue. There's more amazing stuff on here. And we'll pick up some other themes about grace. One of the ones that I think is really important, particularly maybe some of us senior types, but through many dangers, toils, and snares. We've been debating which the words were. Dangers, toils, and snares I have overcome. Grace has seen me thus far and will see me home. So we'll talk about how we can get some hope for the future based on what we've been through in the past. That'll be one of the subjects. Okay. So.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm supposed to pitch books here. Brief. Well, anyway, this is a very good book by Bill Meyer. He's done a number of books on this subject, but Dismantling Racism, it's non-judgmental. He's not going to beat you over the head and tell you how bad you are. But trying to look toward practical solutions to this great problem, which must agonize in the heart of God, racism in America. And then this is Healing the Masculine Soul, which is a really good book about men of all ages coming to some resolution, largely about their fathers, but it would transfer mother-daughter as well. And then I'm supposed to plug this as a little book of prayers that I collected and wrote a few of them, and my daughter did the artwork. So you get that.
It's a nice collection.
They're all in the bookstore. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. They're all in the bookstore. Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. They're all in the bookstore. I don't get any permission for them.
It's a good one to check out.